To think better, manage your cognitive fatigue. Some work weeks are more demanding than others, and this one had been a marathon. After 6 days working interstate, keynoting, facilitating, consulting, and being on call work-wise throughout, by the time Friday afternoon came round, I could feel my brain powering down to the point where I knew I should not be allowed to take responsibility for the safety of animals or small children. But how often do you find yourself soldiering through extreme fatigue levels because there's no other option and the work just has to be completed? There's no one else who can do the work and it's needed now. You feel bad about potentially letting someone else down. Or you don't feel it's possible to ask for help because you know everyone else is under the pump as well. The problem is, cognitive fatigue diminishes our efficiency, effectiveness, and performance. Our speed of processing information slows right down. It's harder to pay attention, and we make more mistakes. It also gets harder to manage our emotional state. We can get a little antsy with our colleagues and frustrated with ourselves. Bottom line, cognitive fatigue makes it harder to think. Add in the extra burden of recovery from injury or illness, the associated worry and anxiety. Will everything be okay? Or having to take medication that makes us feel as if we have cotton wool rather than brain cells in our head. It's easy to see why better thinking has to start with managing our state of mind from an energy perspective. How you manage your cognitive energy will be unique to you. It's about recognizing the difference between what powers you up and what powers you down, and aiming to do more of the former. I often get asked, "What do you do, Dr. Jenny?" And while I'm happy to share, my caveat is that this is what works for me. It may not be what works best for you, and nor am I perfect. There are those days, heck, sometimes weeks, where my best intentions are not fulfilled. Sometimes I have to pull myself up short and say, okay, why isn't this happening, and what can I be doing to get back on track? It's about the rituals and habits we put in place that serve us. Because running on autopilot removes the cognitive burden of, I know this is important, but I'm going to justify why I'm not doing it right now. First up, there is the morning ritual. That set of activities to set us up to be ready for the day and more capable of handling whatever might else crop up. Firstly, drinking a cup of water, sitting on the bedside cabinet before heading off to the kitchen to put the kettle on for a cuppa. Now, I'm of British heritage and I can't imagine starting a day without my first cup of tea. Secondly, meditating for 50 to 20 minutes, however long suits you or whatever practice suits you. Thirdly, I take our two Border Terriers out for their constitutional, a 30 to 40 minute walk through parkland, bushland or the beach. This is my thinking space where many ideas and thoughts bubble up that I can then take home to work on. Then it's time to go home for breakfast, time to catch up with my hubby, before we both set out on our respective work days. So what's your morning ritual? Across the rest of the day, we can devise a number of other rituals to help us to maintain our mental energy. Number one, pre-planning. This is where you choose to map out your week and the day's work in advance. It can really help to highlight what you need to focus on first and keep you occupied on grade A thinking tasks while delegating the grade B and C tasks to other time slots. Secondly, blocking the day into chunks of focused work. This allows you to schedule in breaks every 60 to 90 minutes to get up for a stretch, take a mental break, and break focus. Thirdly, keep moving. We think better on our feet. It boosts our level of attention and cerebral blood flow, especially to the prefrontal cortex. This is where something like a variable height desk can be so useful. Choosing to stand during certain tasks, such as when answering the phone, checking emails, or in meetings. Fourthly, plan a small reward. Small rewards are deeply motivating to our brain and help us to keep our energy levels up. Beyond that satisfying ticking off an item from the to-do list, why not congratulate yourself on completing a difficult task, getting a tender out on time, meeting a deadline, or finishing a group project. Fifthly, choose a finish line. Sometimes it can be hard to know when to stop because there's always going to be more stuff to do, work that feels incomplete, and the next item waiting for our attention. Working for too long is mentally exhausting and leads to more mistakes and reduced performance. If you're supposed to finish work at 5:30 and you're still in the office at 7:30 p.m, you're not doing yourself or anyone else any favours. Set an alarm if you need to, but know when to stop. Number 6, get enough downtime and sleep. This can be an absolute lifesaver. It's the permission piece to avoid getting overtired and is about placing high value on sleep. Now, this might mean turning down invitations to some social events, but the payoff is always having the cognitive energy needed to allow you to be at your best. In a world that is increasingly volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, your future success and best thinking depends on having sufficient mental fuel in your cognitive energy tanks. Which rituals have you found essential for managing your cognitive fatigue?